This meeting is being recorded.
Setting up.
Think we're live.
Yes, we are live. I want to make sure that this is okay. Good. Just muted. No feedback. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Suds in the Score Circle, Suds News. I am Vinny. That is Christy. And welcome to the week that was General Hospital of October. Let's see. What? Let's see.
23rd? I think it was
Yeah,
October
23rd to the
23rd.
27th. Thank you all for joining us. And if you're going to be watching the live stream or you're going to tune in later on, thank you so much for watching. Definitely hit the like button and like, subscribe, get notified, all that happiness just to help us grow our brand. Thank you for tuning in. And I hope I'm not putting you to sleep already, but.
Sorry, no, it's just me. I just needed a nap before this, so we're good.
Yes, we are good. Thank you so much for tuning in all. Christy, how was your week last week?
Oh, such a busy, busy, busy week. I mean, this birthday month is wrapping up. I had a lot of things going on in the last week. I think I managed to watch GH during all of that. I believe I may have missed a few things, but yeah, it's been a busy week, but a good week.
I can understand that completely. And I am the same way. It's been a busy week for me. Actually, no, I lied. It was actually a little bit of a down week for me last week. Personally, I was going through a few struggles myself. Sometimes I like to show that I'm impervious to pain, impervious to different things, and sometimes I try to be like Vince McMahon and try to not be human. But it happens. I was just dealing with a lot of mental exhaustion, mental fatigue, and didn't do a lot of stuff that I should have, but I'm feeling better today, and the look makes it all well. Anyways, so we're gonna go ahead, we're gonna get ready, get into this. The chat room is open, so if you're watching and you wanna put in some feedback, go ahead. But obviously, let's kind of get it out of the way. Probably your least favorite moment of the week was Finn and Liz going on a weekend vacation to Vermont.
Oh God. So we're gonna talk about that, huh? We're gonna
Yeah, we're
get
gonna
that out of
have to.
the way first. All right. Well, I mean, it's like I wanted to be a Finn and Liz fan so bad, but it just looks so terrible on screen. I just can't. If Liz is happy, I would like to say I'm happy. But Liz, you could do so much better. God. So they're going to the cabin, and this is the part that really got me. It's just they get there, she starts washing her hands, and he like goes over and covers his hands with hers, like it's supposed to be this like sexy, longing, like desire thing. And I'm like, no, bro, she's washing her hands. Give her a minute. Like, no, this, like, you need to step away for a minute and let her wash her hands. Like, this is not supposed to be a moment where you interrupt and you try to look all like, hey, I'm here. Let's forget about supper. I didn't like that part. That part really threw me. I was just like, no, food first. I was mad. I was mad about that part. I didn't care for it. I was like, and then not to mention the whole like finger in the mouth thing, which I feel like they had a similar moment with her and Franco, and I was just like disgusted by it. So you're trying to come off sexy GH right now. This is not working for me. I don't know who thinks this is sexy right now, but if you thought it was sexy and you're listening out there and you thought that moment was sexy, Wow, kudos to you, because that was disgusting for me. So I'm so sorry to all the Finn and Liz fans out there who thought that was just so great, because I'm sitting here going, oh my God, this is so disgusting right now. But, you know, I feel for Becky, because I honestly don't, I don't personally think she's feeling despairing. I could be wrong, but I'm not, not feeling it. I think there was an article that came out that Michael Easton said, oh yeah, I thought they were like dead in the water, and then they gave them another go. And I was just like, yeah, I would prefer them to keep them dead in the water. That would have been better, but okay, here we are. We have to endure now.
Well, clear that we're not in the writer's room, so we don't know what's going on. I have to say, it was, I'm kind of indifferent towards Finn and Liz. I preferred Liz and Franco. I know that's not music to your ears, but I just don't see the chemistry. Like, the washing hands moment was a little cringe, in my opinion.
Cringe, it was like, very cringe.
Yeah, it's just, it was uncalled for. It really was. Like,
yeah.
Do you have to? Like, isn't there a different sink in the bathroom? Like, even, I don't think I've ever done that in any relationship I've ever had, was wash our hands together. You know, showering is a different story. We saw that already in the locker room. But yeah, washing hands would not be something that I've ever done with somebody else.
You know what, Vinny? I think I know what they were going for. I'm thinking about this with the hands on top of the hands and the hand washing. They were trying to go for some kind of ghost movie pottery making reference. That's what they were trying to do. They were trying to make it look sexy. But I'm sorry, that you are not Patrick Swayze, and this is not a ghost movie. Like, no, just not working. No, just this, it was ultimate cringe. It was like, I literally was like, oh, I'm like revolting for you, Liz. Like, it's just so bad. I just, but I mean, they did the job. Becky and Michael did the job they had to do that day. So, you know, like they pulled it off, but I'm looking at it and I'm just like, oh God, why?
Now, if it was set to be shown tomorrow, being October 31st, Halloween, I could understand a ghost reference, but being the week before, they had nothing else going on in terms of Halloween based or anything. And you know, it's like, it's something that they talk about all the time in wrestling, who has enough pull to get certain things changed. I would think at this point in time, either one of them could have gone to the writers and said, yeah, we're not feeling this scene right now, but they didn't. And they ended up going through with it. But the other thing that really made me laugh was when they were going ahead and collecting sap out of the tree, and, you know, Finn made the comment saying, you know, we'll have pancakes for dinner or pancakes for breakfast or something. It's like, it takes a process to go from sap to syrup. You don't just use fresh maple sap on your pancakes, considering it takes 4 gallons of sap to make 1 gallon of maple syrup. And I know that from watching Good Eats, because I am a Good Eats nerd. But I just, that to me kind of took me out of the moment. It was like, you're a doctor, and Liz is a nurse, and that's something that you don't know. But
right,
whatever, it is what it is. I didn't really like that whole thing. We know in today's episode that they do go ahead and go fully committing to each other in that kind of way. But that's kind of a spoiler for...
I'm not looking forward to watching that at all. I hope it's not a full-on love scene. I have not read any Twitter comments or anything on it. I'm just hoping it's not a full-on like love scene. I hope it's more of a fade to black situation. But we'll see. We'll see. I don't know. I think I may have to, you know, be near a toilet so I can vomit. I don't know.
Well, I'll just keep a trash barrel next to you.
I don't. Yeah, probably. Oh, God.
Let's kind of move on to another topic quickly.
Yeah.
Cyrus, he went through town and kind of saw just about everybody he harassed previously. He went to go see Portia. He went to go see Trina. He went to go, you know, kind of announce himself everywhere on his "Oh, I Have Been Redeemed" tour.
The redemption tour of Cyrus.
Ooh. Yeah, exactly. Cyrus's redemption tour. I just don't understand how. Well, no, let me back up. I understand how nobody is buying it. I don't understand how he thinks people are going to buy it. His whole come to Jesus moment.
It's not working, because the thing is, he never said Jesus. Not once. I don't think I ever heard that man say Jesus once.
No, and, he says the word.
That's how you get saved. I know this because I'm a professing Christian. So the thing is that the Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and that's how you get to the Lord, okay? But not once did I ever hear Cyrus say, "Yes, I give my life to Jesus. He's my Lord and Savior." Not once. So this is all fake. We know it's all fake.
Yeah.
I think everyone can pick up on it, that it's all for show.
Yeah, of course.
And the fact that he had to announce himself and he felt bold enough, which, you know, shows he's still definitely a villain. He's bold enough to reintroduce himself to Portia and Trina, even though he says, "Oh, it was by accident. I didn't know you were here." I don't know if I really buy that. And then even if I do buy that, he still was there. Like, she's like, "Okay, then leave." And he still keeps going on and on and on. And I'm like, dude, leave. She has to leave. like, I kind of like you as the villain, but now you're kind of pissing me off because my girl Trina asked you to leave and you're not leaving the building. Like, you're still here. I don't like it. And yeah. I'm very glad that Portia told him off. Trina told him off, both very strong women, and they just told him off. And they said, "You need to get the hell away, or we're going to get a restraining order." You know, like, yeah. So, however, I do like, the only thing I think I really liked about Cyrus in his redemption tour was the fact that he did confront Mason about betraying him.
Right.
He said, you know, "See what happens because you betray me." And he had it out with him. And I like that, because I'm like, this Mason guy is just as bad as Link.
Right.
Mason just always reminds me of Link. Just very creepy, shady dude. Not good. So, yeah, I thought of him. And then I kind of like the action that Austin took, and Austin got brave. And I think he was, well, we'll see, I guess, if he was successful in smothering.
Well,
he wasn't. I don't know. We'll see if that was successful or not.
Well, spoiler is that he was not. But here's the thing. I honestly feel like Mason is being written off, because he's not going to be able to get out of it. Either he's got to run and never be seen again, or he's going to be going to prison, or maybe Cyrus will be the one to end up killing him off. But I have a feeling the Mason character will be written off, because you don't, you know, here's the biggest thing. We know that Cyrus has not changed, for sure. We know that Cyrus is the one that's in the, you know, the head of the organization. Whether or not he's answering to Alcazar, as what the rumor and innuendo is, I don't know. Because there has to be somebody on the outside that was controlling it. Now, could it have been the warden? And now that Cyrus is getting out and she's in Texas, all that is dissolved. We just don't have the answers yet. I do want to see where it goes. I'm anxious to see if Alcazar is coming back. He's been spotted at Prospect Park Studios. But there actually is a rumor. I've not heard anything other than this as a social media rumor, but I've heard that Blaze could be Lila Ray Alcazar. Because, and the premise behind that makes sense. Luke always called Sky Blaze. So maybe she just took that name as a, you know, tribute to her mother after Luke died. Died, because I still think that he's alive. But that's always a possibility, especially if Blaze is here to play Christina. I sure hope not, you know, and getting close to Christina to take out Sonny through his kids. I hope not. I hope what we see with Blaze and Christina is legitimate and all that. I really am enjoying that pairing.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I haven't heard anything through the Gorilla Vine. So everything is rumor and innuendo at this point in time.
Mm-hmm. All right. I don't mind that idea. That's cool. That theory. I don't mind that at all. If that's the case.
I don't, you know, I do mind it. Like I said, I'm rooting for Christina and Blaze. But if it does, it would obviously give a lot more drama, because then we could end up seeing where Blaze actually does end up falling for Christina. And, you know, it makes it all that much difficult. We've seen that numerous times in soaps. I mean, hell, it was actually the premise of a whole Freddie Prinze Jr. movie. She's all that. So, yes, I'll admit to seeing that movie. But anyways, so kind of going back to Cyrus, he does make the rounds. Portia tells him off. Trina and Spencer comes in during the diatribe, asks if Trina's okay. He kind of, you know, for the most part, Spencer kind of stood towards the side. Although when Cyrus made the overturn saying, "Oh, there's your turtle dove," I gave those to Spencer. I almost expected Trina to kind of turn on Spencer and say, "He gave those to you? I thought those were from your Uncle Victor."
Yeah, I thought that too. I didn't know Cyrus was involved with the whole turtle doves thing. And I was like, ooh.
I knew that Cyrus gave them to him. I knew that Cyrus gave them to him. That was on screen last year around Christmas time when Spencer was in Pentonville.
Well, right, it was. Okay, see, I forgot all about that history of the turtle doves thing. So I was like, oh, I don't know how I feel about that now. As a gift to Trina. That kind of had me have different feelings about it. Because I don't think Trina's privy to that information either.
No, I don't think she is either. And that, well, I mean, now she is. But I didn't, I don't remember if they, when they were at the safe deposit box, because that's where Spencer found the turtle doves in Victor's deposit box. I don't remember if he told Trina that Cyrus had originally given to him. I don't remember. So if, for those of you who are watching or listening, please let me know. Vinny@sudsandsquaredcircle.com. I don't know. And I can't even go back into the archives to see if that, you know, if that was the case, because I cannot for the life of me remember if he brought it up at that point in time. He may have, but I don't remember.
Yeah.
Let's see. What else happened last week? Moving on. Well, let's kind of go with, we didn't see much of Christina and Blaze last week other than, no, actually we didn't. The last thing we saw was, you know, Christina having to leave for the island with Sonny. And then we didn't see Blaze again until today. So there was nothing on the Christina and Blaze front last week. However, Tracy put in her two cents and said that she did not want Blaze to become the new face of deception and for Lucy to keep Sasha. Now it kind of all works out because Sasha did go to tell Cody that she decided to stay in Port Charles. giving everybody that false finish, saying, you know, that she was going to leave be for Austin, Texas. That was obviously a false narrative, and she's going to be staying. Hey, Nathan Banks said, hey, guys, so thank you. Welcome. Thank you for watching. But yeah, so Sasha's staying, and, you know, Tracy put in her 2 cents to keep the face of deception there as Sasha. How do you feel now? Because we're going to see a lot of headbutting between Lucy and Tracy coming up.
Yeah. I thought that was interesting. I'm still like, why haven't they told Sasha anything?
Right.
Still haven't told Sasha a thing. Like, they're like, you know, we don't need to tell Sasha anything. Well, we'll just figure this stuff out on our own. Like,
to be fair, Maxie thought she dodged a bullet when she went over to see Sasha. So I was like, oh, I'm heading to Austin. So I don't know. You know, nobody's ever, because Maxie thinks she's going to Austin. So when, you know, when Tracy comes in and Lucy says, oh, no, well, Tracy wants us to keep Sasha. Mm-hmm. You know, Maxie didn't, you know, have any reaction as to, ooh, maybe she's going to, you know, maybe she's not going to stay. How are we going to talk her into staying or whatever? So, but it's going to end up working out anyways. But now they have to go tell Sasha that they want Blaze to become the new face of deception. Again, Tracy versus Lucy. This is going to be a bone of contention the entire time that this is going on.
Yeah. It's going to continue to be a point of contention for sure. I mean, I don't know if I really care either way, if it's Blaze or it's Sasha as the face of deception, but I just think it's kind of like you need to maybe tell Sasha what's up. Like, that's just my only issue with it.
Yeah.
And I know Maxie mentioned that at some point. So, I mean, we'll see what happens there. But I think this kind of, I don't know, I feel like the whole deception storyline, their whole business is just kind of like a mess right now. Even though they have it worked out that Lucy that owns 51% or no, that's Tracy?
Tracy owns 51%.
Right. Tracy owns 51%. Lucy owns the 49% because of the share, the EOQ share. Yeah. So I still think this is a mess. Like, I don't know.
It's funny to me as a wrestling fan because just these scenes this week of Lucy saying that, you know, being so upset with Tracy kind of overruling her reminded me of Vince McMahon. Vince never wanted to have anybody overruling him. And the fact is that now in this Endeavor situation, Vince is overruled and he's no longer part of creative, which is probably a craw in his hat. But, you know, he is obviously almost 80 at this point and needed to be taking a step back, but he's never had a boss. Lucy in deception has never had a boss. So now that she's being overruled by Tracy, hey, David, how are you? Welcome to watching Suds in the Squared Circle. It is my co-host on Take Two Radio, David. I'm not even going to try to pronounce your last name, so I don't screw it up. You'll have to tell me the next time we're on the other podcast, Take Two Radio Soaps in Review. But anyways, so I can't wait to see these upcoming scenes. Now, Tracy is obviously thick-headed and bull-headed and somebody who gets what she wants. Lucy is what's a nice word of saying it, but Lucy is definitely unable to be controlled.
Stubborn.
Thank you. I was trying to think of the word. But yeah, so it's going to make for good TV over the next few weeks. I wonder how The other part of that is when Tracy tells Brooklyn that, you know, she got deception for her. I wonder how that discussion is going to go.
Yeah, that's really an interesting part of it, because Brooklyn didn't ask for that. She didn't want any of it. So I know that's like Tracy's backup plan for Brooklyn, but that's, I think Brooklyn is definitely going to be like, no, grandma, that's not something I wanted. So
exactly,
you did this and you didn't even ask me. So
yes, that is very true. And again, I've said a couple times at this point, yes, Tracy is a lizard. She's a shrewd business person. I just don't understand now where they're going to go with it. Will it get to the point where, because we know that Tracy's not back for good. She's on contract right now. I assume it's just a year contract. When it comes down to her, you know, when it comes down to the fact of Tracy saying no, you know, where are they going to go from there? Will Tracy just get fed up and say, oh, well, now I'm going to, you know, give you back your, you know, 51% because now I have the 100, the last 1% of ELQ that I needed, so you could have deception. That's what's fun. That's what's fun to me, you know, going forward, because I want to see that happening.
Yeah, I mean, the only part of it I'm like really invested in is the whole Brooklyn Tracy fallout from everything.
Yeah,
the rest of it, I'm just like, eh.
But I will say, I was listening to the Soaps in Depth podcast today, you know, with Rena Sofer from this past week. And she did say that the best part about Jane Elliott playing Tracy is that Tracy does actually have a heart and love Brooklyn. David, I understand that you don't buy Granny's act. I don't necessarily buy it either, but I do know that she did, in her mind, she feels she did the right thing for Brooklyn's future without consulting Brooklyn. That's the key, is that she did it without consulting Brooklyn, and Brooklyn doesn't want to run deception.
Yeah, she doesn't. So we'll see what the fallout of that is. I'm glad though that Lois is there.
Yes.
For Brooklyn right now. So I'm glad that we have the whole Lois part of it as well, and the interaction between Lois and Granny Tracy. So very interesting stuff.
I find that coming up over the next couple of months, there's going to be a lot of good Tracy scenes coming up between her and Lois, her and Brooklyn, her and Lucy. She's definitely going on all cylinders at this point, but she is an icon.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
All right. So we did get to see the return of a fan favorite this past week. Liesl Obrecht did come back and make an appearance on Wednesday. She and Willow had a good conversation, regarding, you know, Nina and Willow's relationship with her, and how Willow feels that her and Nina's relationship is getting better, to a better place, and that you know, Nina is in her you know, kids' lives, and she's happy. Although now it remains to be seen how that fallout is going to come now that Michael knows the truth, and we'll get into Michael's blackmail of Nina momentarily. But how did you like seeing Obrecht back on the campus?
Yeah, I mean, Obrecht is maybe not one of my like favorite characters, but I do I do love the actress. I've actually met the actress, the lovely actress, Kathleen Gatty. She's amazing. But I didn't, I kind of forgot actually how much Willow and Oprah got along like really, really well. So they had a sweet scene. My whole thing was like that she spent $10,000 on some spa week. Yeah. I was like, dang, that must be some swanky spa. Does that include room accommodations and all your meals and all the stuff? Like, that's crazy that she has that much money to throw around just for that. I mean, okay. Get me a $10,000 week at a spa, Oprah. My gosh. I could use that. So, yeah, that was the part that really like caught my attention. I was like, dang, okay.
Yeah, I like, you know, I like that Liesl still kind of has ties to Port Charles, because after Nathan died, after Britt died, it's like she really didn't have anything in Port Charles, because Willow is her niece, or was it? Yeah, it's her niece, right? Because Nina is her niece, a great niece. Willow is her great niece, and I just don't know. I would like to see her more. Like, I love the actress. I love Kathleen Gatty. Listen to her interview that she had with the girls from Port Charles. And she's a fantastic cook that I saw. So I like Liesl and I want to see more of her. But we do need to get into the big story of Michael blackmailing Nina regarding her obviously going to the SEC about Drew and Carly and her inclusion with that. And David said that Michael is a lizard as well. Nathan did ask, before we get on to Michael, Nathan did ask, I'm not sure why Dr. O is back. What's the point of having her being on GH? I think it was just to have Willow to have a sounding board at this point, because she also did bring up the fact of Harmony coming to her in her dreams about warning her not to trust somebody, but then, you know, she can't hear who that is. So it was just something as a sounding board, I think, because she couldn't go to Michael, because, you know, Michael's going to jump to Nina. Harmony saying, don't trust Nina. And there's also that friction there at this point. So that's my take on it. You know,
yeah, I mean, I guess Willow doesn't have a whole lot of friends, and they haven't really developed like a Liz Willow friendship that much. So, no,
Willow and Sasha are good friends, but Sasha has been going through, I can understand Willow's point of not going to her about that.
Yeah, well, they don't really have Sasha in Willow's orbit right now, so that's makes good sense. So, yeah, it was just to be, I think it was just to be a sounding board, because it was kind of like out of the blue, like, oh, here's Oprah.
It was. But, okay, so moving on to Michael and Nina, it looked to me like Michael's blackmail almost backfired on him. Because Nina did say, like, yeah, I may have pointed Martin in the direction of the SEC, but Drew and your mom did do something illegal. Like, that's the whole thing. David said, I'm wondering if Harmony is warning Willow about Michael. That's something that I'm thinking too. The fact that Michael is holding this vendetta over Nina.
Yeah, they had a pretty big blowout, and Michael's pretty mad, but I'm still like, okay, so how much longer do we have until like everybody knows? Because now Michael knows, and it's just a matter of time before Carly knows, and then Sunny knows,
Yeah.
So I still feel like I'm waiting for the other shoe to drop, even though Michael knows now.
Now, just to kind of put the rumor to bed, I did see on Facebook that there was somebody that posted something that Cynthia Watros was leaving GH. That is absolutely false. It was actually an article from, I think, 2 years ago, 2 or 4 years ago, that she was going to film another TV show. But I guess they worked around it or whatever the case was. So she is not leaving anytime soon. So if you saw that post on Facebook, it's not true. I see too many of those stupid things on Facebook and X for that matter. But just to kind of move on, I like how Nina almost put Michael in his place, but then Willow walked in. And Willow's like, oh, what are you guys talking about? and, you know, they both poo-pooed over it. And, you know, they said right. They, you know, were talking about, you know, when they were talking about Willow and everything. And then Willow said, well, you know, Wiley wants to go back down to the island. So we were hoping within the next week or so we could go down, or maybe after Halloween or whatever. And Nina's like, oh, no, I'm busy. I'm going to Paris or whatever the case was for a fashion show or something.
Right.
I just don't understand, or I shouldn't say I don't understand, but I don't know why Nina just doesn't come clean. I mean, obviously she doesn't want to push Willow and the kids away again. But at this point in time, I would much rather see Nina turn a new leaf and say, you know, Michael and I were talking because Michael, you know, doesn't want me to see the kids as much anymore because I was the one that, you know, I'm responsible for Drew going to prison and, you know, calling the SEC. I didn't, you know, and she could even say that, you know, I wasn't expecting Drew to go to get such a harsh prison sentence and this, that, the other thing. I was just very mad at Carly and, you know, go from there. Because again, Drew is in prison because of his own chivalry, so to speak, that he wanted to take the heat instead of Carly. And, you know, it's like Carly was the one that did something illegal with the insider trading. You know, there's nothing more to say to that, but she is guilty.
Yeah, I would like to see that too, because this whole thing with Nina keeping the secret of the SEC is very tiresome. Mm-hmm. And it's been like, what, at least 6 months, if not more, that she's kept this secret. So it just, when it gets past a certain point of like it being a secret, it just gets less and less impactful for me on screen for it to like,
agreed,
come to light. So I'm tired of it. Can we just get this secret out and just move on with our lives here?
Exactly. Because now it's not only Nina's holding the secret, but Michael knows the secret, and you know, how badly he wants to just tell Sonny, you know, this is what your new wife did. And Nina's, you know, the other thing is that David points out that Nina's not responsible for Drew getting hurt in prison, but Nina doesn't see it that way because she's the one that sent Drew to prison. And you know that Carly is going to come after Nina and say, you know, he wouldn't be in prison if it wasn't for you, and he wouldn't have gotten beat up and blah, 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 blah. We know that as, you know, the audience, that's where that's going to lead.
I'm sorry, that scene, every time we mention Drew getting beat up in prison, I still have flashbacks of him getting jumped in the shower naked. God, poor guy. I still can't, I know it's realistic, but I still am like, poor Drew getting jumped naked in the shower.
But I will say, as a former Navy SEAL, he did do better than most people.
He did. He fought him off pretty well up until then there. So,
but like, to be honest with you, when I started doing kickboxing at the gym that I go to, and they wanted us to do it barefoot or with socks on, that to me was a little bit, difficult, because I prefer to fight with shoes on. But, you know, I can't imagine fighting with nothing on.
Yeah.
I mean, clearly it happens, but I couldn't imagine doing something like that. But so I, you know, we want this to end with Michael and Nina and the whole secret come out already. You know, let's get to the aftermath because we know it's going to be big. We know it's going to be to the point where, you know, is Sonny going to stay with Nina? Is he going to go back to Carly? We know Carly's happy with Drew. Is he going to send, you know, Nina, you know, elsewhere and out of town? Will he stay? Will he go? I just want to see that aftermath at this point in time. I want to get it all over with because it is tiresome at this point. All right. So moving on to Sonny and Dante having a good heart to heart. I To be honest with you, it was really nice how, you know, Sonny and Dante have kind of come together as father and son. Dante being the cop, Sonny being the mobster. Although, you know, I think Dante's got more of a respect for his father at this point.
Yeah, they had some nice, like, sweet, like, scenes. They were very nice father-daughter scene. I mean, father-son scenes. Excuse my slip there. Like, that was not what I meant to say. But they had really nice scenes, and I never really like cared one way or another with the Sonny Dante relationship, but I'm kind of neutral in that respect. Like, it's great that they had scenes, but I didn't really pay much mind to them other than the fact that, like, Dante's given him tips, like, don't do anything to get yourself in trouble, sort of thing. That I did pick up on, but they were good for what they were.
Yeah, no, I agree. I like how Sonny's kids all, for the most part, except Michael. Michael is always the wild card. You know, he is the one that even, you know, and I get it that Sonny's not his real father. He's, you know, AJ was his real father, you know, and he's adopted and all that. I get it. But Michael, in my opinion, Michael is the most like Sonny. Because he's the one that's going to be, you know, take no shit from anybody, you know, wants what he wants. He, you know, he's loyal to what he feels is his family, depending on which way the wind blows, either the Corinthos or the Quartermain. And he, you know, he feels very loyal to his mother. And, you know, the fact when his father hurts his mother, he go, you know, instead of staying neutral like most kids should, he always chooses the side of his mother. Like, you know, when Sonny cheated on Carly with Ava in the crypt and had, you know, they had Avery and Michael took Avery after Sonny killed AJ. So it's just, you know, Michael, in my opinion, is the most like Sonny. Although, as David points out, Dante is the one that's more level-headed. He's the better son. Dante kind of sees things from a distance and kind of looks at the entire picture rather than, oh, he's just the mobster. He just did this. He just did that. And Michael is also more emotional. He acts without thinking.
It's kind of like Sonny.
Yeah, exactly.
I
Exactly.
agree with you. Like father and son in that respect.
Yes, very much so. And I honestly feel that, you know, Michael, once Sonny retires or gets killed, in the line of duty as a mobster, I think Michael will be the one that takes over the business. I originally thought that it would be Dante, but I think it's gonna end up being Michael.
Yeah, I think Dante likes his line of work at the PCPD. And I kind of like that they talked about it a little bit with Sonny and him, like, oh, hey, so what happened? Like, you did your job and they put you on leave. And he's like, yeah, clear yourself up.
Yeah, no, and it's true because Dante's kind of said the same thing to both Cody and Sonny this week, saying, you know, it's just kind of, you know, routine. And Cody pointed out, you know, this week that I'm on leave. Yeah, I did my job, but it was, you know, it's protocol, you know, it's what has to happen. I fired a gun at somebody.
Right.
And even Cody pointed out, like, you were rescuing somebody and shot somebody who was going to push somebody else over the side of the cliff. If that's not a warranted shooting, you know, I don't know what would be. And, you know, it's just, you know, I get it. It was not in his jurisdiction, you know, because they were in, what was it, Pawtuck?
Oh,
You know,
well, I'm glad he did it because,
I
I
agree.
mean, Ava was in a bad situation there. I mean, I was kind of hoping they would let Ava be more of a badass and get herself out of that situation, but it
Yeah.
is.
No, it's true. I want to see Ava t like I said last week, I want Ava to take back her power. You know, and become that badass that she was.
Just to see her in that damsel is distress in the car situation was just like, really?
I think
I know that Ava has more resources than this.
yeah. Well, I think once that she finds out that Nicholas is alive, I think that's kind of kick to start that, because, you know, now that she realizes, you know, once she realizes that Nicholas is still alive and, you know, she didn't kill him, that's where she's gonna take back her power, because now she has to find Nicholas and you know, because he obviously hasn't come home. But he, you know, he's been taking money out of his account in person, in Geneva, no less. All right. So, moving on to, let's see, moving on to, gotta skip over Curtis, because even though I used to like the character of Curtis, now it's just a,
Ooh.
it has. Nothing, it has nothing to do with the fact that he's, you know, paralyzed, because, you know, that to me, I don't mind. I'm not one of these people where if yeah, I know, David, after today, she doesn't know that Nicholas is alive. But no, like with Curtis, it's almost like I'm not somebody who's like, oh, well, you know, Curtis is not really a paraplegic, so they shouldn't have him playing it, that it's offensive to people who are really disabled. You know, I'm not somebody who's going to get offended by that. That doesn't matter to me one way or another. He's an actor. He could play different roles. But I just don't like the constant whining. Like, I understand if somebody does go, and actually that's something that I really want to reach out to Lex Luger, who is a should be a WWE Hall of Famer, but a previous wrestler. He's somebody that kind of did have a similar situation to Curtis, where not that he was necessarily shot in the back, but he did have a stroke that left him as a, I think, a quadriplegic, if I'm not mistaken. And he had to be put in a wheel. No, maybe he was a paraplegic, but he had to, you know, he has to live for the most part in a wheelchair. He started to gain finally some movement in his legs, and he's able to walk with a walker or something. But I'm going to try to set up an interview with Lex Luger. He did start a new podcast on the Ad Free Shows Network called Lex Expressed. For those of you who were fans of the WWE in the 90s, you'll kind of get a chuckle out of that pun from the Lex Express. But that's something that I do want to talk to him about, because he actually did go through it, and what those stages of grief are, those stages of, you know, denial, then anger, and then, you know, getting to the point of acceptance. Because I think Curtis is at the anger at this point. I don't know. I don't like where it is right now. He's to me, it's just whine, 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 whine.
Right. I'd rather see him making steps of recovery in his physical therapy. I would rather see him making strides in that and making steps forward to walking again.
Yeah, let's see him be more determined. Like, I get that, you know, he was lifting weights and then everything because he has to work on his upper body. I get all that. But I would much rather see him more determined, like he was at the beginning when he was at the physical therapy, that he was, you know, working extra at it, that he's going to walk again. That's what I want to see from the Curtis character, you know.
Right. Yeah, I want to see him not be like all down in the dumps, like, oh, I'm not going to be able to walk. I'm not going to be able to dance with Trina at her graduation ceremony, whatever. Yeah. Like, no, dude, that's like 2 years in the future. Like, you could be walking by then. Like I want to see him have more of a positive mentality than this, like, woe is me act that he's in right now, which is not, you know, it's not like the most fun to watch that.
Exactly.
So especially if you're also in that kind of thing yourself and you're like, because we watch soaps for escape, right? So like, do we really want to watch a guy who's like, oh, I can't do this. I get it.
There's going to be peaks and valleys with every character and with every storyline.
I guess. It's just, for me, I just would rather, I think it'd be more compelling to see Curtis like take steps towards like actively trying to get his muscles and to work again, like to get back to a place where he's walking and he's doing things, or at least see him in the gym, like doing upper body strength stuff, something.
Like have him once in a while try to, you know, stand or try to, you know, work out his legs or something. Like, let's see that, you know, let's see him at the physical therapy where he's kind of holding himself up on the bars next to him, where he's trying to work on his, you know, on his legs and get the feeling back. Or, you know, what the hell, you know, Patrick Drake is a neurosurgeon, you know, have him come back and say, hey, we just developed this, we want to, you know, we have an option that could help, you know, reconnect the nerves in the spine so you'll be able to walk again. Is that realistic? I don't know. Would that upset people who are in the same position? I don't know. Maybe. Because it may be a fictional, you know, just like there's no cure for Lou Gehrig's disease. So they're going to be playing this entire Gregory Chase storyline out because there is no cure for ALS. You know, but I mean, here's the thing. I think I would much rather see them come up with some fictional fix for Curtis. You can't do a fictional cure for ALS because that does get to be a little too personal. But where there is a possibility, there, you know, medical, the medical field is coming up with new types of things every day. I mean, you know, I'm not a doctor, so I'm not going to say all there is to it. But, you know, Patrick Drake is a neurosurgeon. You know, Noah Drake is a neurosurgeon. He's a drunk, but he's a neurosurgeon. So, I mean, either one of them could come in and say, you know, and of course it's not going to be, you know, Jason Thompson because he's on, what's he on, Y&R. Yeah, he's on Y&R as Billy. So, you know, they may have to recast, but, you know, you could have them come back. There's where there's a will, there's a way. And if you want to get the character of Curtis back walking again, bring in somebody from the past. That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying. All right. So, moving on. Anything else you want to add in on the Curtis?
I'm good.
Although I will say one thing, I did like how Curtis was going over the finances of the Savoy, when Portia walked in, and you know, she told him how Cyrus went to go visit her, and you know, and that's what kind of pushed Curtis over the edge because he can't defend his woman against Cyrus. But all right, moving on. there's actually not much more to go over other than Laura going after Scotty for being the one to represent Cyrus in his parole hearing. And Scotty being like, hey, I'm not on retainer. It was, you know, everybody gets I was assigned to him. You know, Scotty's always out for the money anyway. And then Laura comes back with, well, how did you get paid? Because he gave away all his money to a charity. And Scott's like, oh, I got paid from whatever charity it was, you know, for him. The second chance charity that Cyrus set up.
Fishy.
Very.
I think that whole thing with him giving away his money is very shady. I think he gave it away to certain organizations that I think I read that possibly gave him his freedom or whatever. Oh, yeah, I don't know. It's a whole weird, shady thing. So, yeah. I don't know. I was more interested. Those scenes didn't really, get me that interested in watching. I was more interested in the Laura scenes with, Laura and Alexis talking about Esme, and then Esme leaning over on the other side of the door the whole time, listening in. So that was a little more compelling for me to watch than the Laura Scotty stuff, because I've always been
oh, I get it.
I mean, it's good though that they're still keeping them, you know, connected because of history and all that, but
right.
Yeah, no,
I completely understand that.
Mm-hmm.
And I myself like that as well, seeing I'm just having technical difficulties over here. I enjoyed seeing Laura and Alexis kind of catching up, and Alexis being like, thank you for keeping an eye on Spencer and Trina while we were out there. And, you know, and Alexis like, hey, I was being truthful. Esme was doing a good job. And, you know, you didn't have to worry about anything. You know, she's been showing that she's a good mother, and all that. And it was absolutely fantastic that she was there. And then afterwards, right after that conversation, Esme goes in and says, hey, could I have a raise?
Yeah. That was very bold of her, but she revealed that Esme's having feelings for Spencer. I'm like, yeah, I knew that. That's not brand new information to me. I saw that coming a mile away. So,
but you know,
there was all those longing looks and stuff. And I'm like, yeah, I see what's happening here.
But you know what? It was good that she pointed out rather than doing something sneaky about it. I actually have more respect for Esme in that situation to say, you know, I'm starting to have feelings for Spencer. I have to get out of this situation because of that. So I have no problem with that. And I know I'll probably get hate for that, but you know, I have some more respect for Esme that way for doing that.
Right. Yeah. I mean, at least she's upfront about it.
Yep.
She is eavesdropping on Alexis and
yes.
Laura, which shows me more of her side from before. You know, shows a little more of old Esme, because I know she's in there. So
we know she's in there. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it was good. That was good stuff.
Yep, I agree. All right.
I think we skipped one thing though.
Yes. Go ahead.
I think it was on Tuesday, there was these very sweet, Brooklyn Lois chase scenes that I really, really enjoyed.
All right, go ahead and share. What are your thoughts on?
Yeah. So, Lois was there, and, Brooklyn wrote a new song, and I think she told Chase about it. I don't know. And Chase came over and sang the new song, and that was so cute. That was a nice little Chase and Brooklyn moment from last week. And I don't understand why people say this. There's a few fans out there that are like, oh, he doesn't have that great of a voice. I'm like, yeah, he does. His mom was a voice coach. Like, what? Like, he has a great voice. I think it was just not maybe put in the best light during the whole, like, trying to force him to be, like, a singer as a career. Like, obviously that wasn't, like, put in the best light, and he's going to get made fun of for that. But he does have a really great singing voice. So, yeah. Like, let that be. I like when once in a while if they do it with just him in Brooklyn, you know, on the side while she's making new music or whatever. Like, I think that's cute.
Yeah.
I like it. I liked it a lot. It was really great. I think there was one point where Brooklyn said to Lois, like, you better not let Chase know that Granny got him that second chance at his job. So,
but I think he already knows, because even at one point Tracy said, I just got them in the room. It was, you know, your stellar record that went ahead and got you the job back. I just got them in the room. So I think that's a moot point at this point, but because I think I like that Brooklyn and Chase have almost, or Brooklyn has kind of become more honest around Chase. And she has, I don't think there's anything hidden anymore from in that relationship.
Yeah. Right. I don't want there to be. I don't want there to be like this secret that Brooklyn's keeping from Chase in regards to that. Because I do think he kind of like knows that there were some strings pulled with Tracy to get him his job back. So I don't really feel like that's that much of a secret. So
yeah, no, I agree with you completely. Yeah. All right. So anything else that you want to share that we missed from this past week?
I don't believe so. No.
All right. Well, we're going to go ahead and get on to our final segment here. I don't think we did it on the live show last week, but we do normally do a segment called the Thankful Minute. And I'm always chivalrous, so ladies first, if you'd like to go ahead and do your Thankful Minute. And what were you thankful for this week?
Thankful for this past week. I'm always thankful for the job I currently hold. I got to go out of town for a day and see this beautiful hotel property that is gorgeous, and it's very expensive. I got to stay there for a night, and it was, it's got lovely views along the bay of Alabama. It was beautiful. Of course, I got to see the sightsee for like 2 seconds. But it was good. I had a lot of events and things happening last week. So it was a busy week, but it was a good week. And I don't know. I'm just really thankful that I'm in the blessed position that I am, and just where I am in life and doing this podcast. I always have a safe place to share my thoughts. So that wraps it up for me.
All right. Well, thank you. Thank you for joining in, Arlene. I appreciate you coming in. We're just in the middle of actually our last segment, which is the Thankful Minute. And Christy just shared her Thankful Minute. I'll go ahead and share mine now. I have a lot to be thankful. I'm thankful for having my niece, actually, because I did get to babysit her a little bit this past week. She was feeling puny, as they say in the South. And, you know, she wasn't feeling too well, and I got to babysit. I'm just happy that I'm able to help out with her while I'm not working a full-time job. I actually, as I stated at the beginning of the episode, I was actually having a very mentally exhausting, I was suffering from mental exhaustion this past week. So it was just a lot of downtime for me, which I'm not used to. Because I'm not somebody that goes ahead and has downtime, and I don't know what to do with it, so I end up getting to be lazy. But either way, I'm thankful for just being able to be around my family during this time. So that's just about it. I want to thank you all for tuning in. Make sure to hit that like button, subscribe, get notified. We are going to be going live every Monday, whether it be 9:30 Eastern or 10 Eastern, which, you know, do the math for your time zone. Just because I'm also on Take Two Radio, Soaps in Review, every other Monday. So that goes from 7 to 9 Eastern. And then after that, I'll come on to here. So that's for Suds in the Squared Circle for the Suds News. So thank you all for joining us. My name is Vinny. This is Christy. And we will see you next week right here on Suds in the Squared Circle. Good night, everybody.